ти признайся мені, звідки в тебе ті чари? Я без тебе всі дні у полоні печалі, може десь у лісах, де чар зілля шукала, сонце руту знайшла і мене зчарувала. Червону руту не шукай вечорами, ти у мене єдина, тільки ти. Повір, бо твоя врода, то є чистая вода, то є бистрая вода синіх гір. Бачу я тебе в снах, у дібровах зелених, по забутих стежках, ти приходиш до мене, і не треба нести мені квітку надії.
That was Jito from Calgary, opening our program with a song about that magical herb that has many, many layers of meaning in that song, Червона Рута, the Red Rue. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павіна Макварі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McQuarrie, your host, and I am delighted to have you with me once again. Whether you're tuning in on AM, FM, or shortwave radio, on your mobile phone, streaming live online, or time-shifting via podcast, a very, very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar will be along with another great recipe. As well, Irina Bell from the Ukrainian radio program in Ottawa has some more interesting Ukrainian trivia for you. And Keith will be by with news from Ukraine. And in the second half of our program, an interview with Marta Tomku, the Hollywood producer of the newly released documentary film Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide. As well, we'll have our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Privit from Montreal, and a tune from their first CD, Berech Nadi, Shores of Hope, and a song called Nashto, Nashto Tobi Petate, Why Ask Me?
Та що, на що тобі питати, чи я люблю тебе, чи ні. Полегше серце розірвати і знати відповідь мені. Полегше серце розірвати і знати відповідь мені. Чи я люблю тебе, не знаю, спитай вночі у срібних зір. Весною слухай, щелестаю, дивіться вдаль зелених гір. Весною слухай, щелестаю, дивіться вдаль зелених гір. Спитаю чайки, що голосе, спитаю хмар, що сльози б'ють. Іди на спалені покоси, що враз останні роси б'ють. Іди на спалені покоси, що враз останні роси б'ють. Дай бо я сказать без сила, я знаю, знаю тільки те, що підеш ти віриться могила і засло сонце золоте. Що підеш ти віриться могила і засло сонце золоте. Ідеш ти, криця могила, і засло сонце золоте.
You can now hear programs from PCJ Radio while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. It's free and just takes a few seconds. Then during registration, hit the promo code box and enter PCJ to get automatically entered to win $100. For more information, go to www.pcjmedia.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the right menu. PCJ Radio on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio.
And from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, that was the Voloshki Trio from their CD Fantasia, and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Chomte Ne Prisho, Why Didn't You Come? Up next, the Canadian Banduras Capella from Toronto, and this is from their second CD called Play Kobzar, Harai Kobzaryu. And here they are now with another traditional folk song, Rozpirahajte Chlopci Koni, Unharness the Horses, Boys. Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. According to cabbage folklore, babies are found under cabbage leaves. You might find this hard to believe, but I actually believed this for a while. When I was young, the neighbor, a Dutch lady, told me this story and I believed her. My goodness, it's good to be young and innocent. Ukrainians love cabbage and use it in many, many ways. Get your pans ready as I have the perfect busy day cabbage recipe for all seasons. I have to share this story with you too in regards to using cabbage leaves for medicinal purposes. When I was traveling on the bus from Kiev to Bukovina, the Carpathian Mountains, and up to Lviv, there was a point when most of us had swollen ankles, basically from the combination of heat and sitting for a long time. Our tour leader had the cure: wrap fresh cabbage leaves around the ankles, slip a sock over before going to bed, and in the morning, guess what? Most of us were cured. A few had to go another night, though, with the cabbage leaf treatment. To this day, every time I look at a cabbage, I think of the Ukrainian cabbage treatment. When we took the cabbage leaves off in the morning, they were wet. I gather they have some magic property of drawing out water. Anyway, it is a unique story. Priceless, I think. A fabulous folk remedy. Now for the recipe. I think this must be the easiest casserole recipe I have. Here we go. You'll need 2 pounds ground extra lean beef, 2 to 3 tablespoons oil, 1 large onion, finely chopped, 2 teaspoons salt or to taste, 1/2 teaspoon freshly ground pepper or more, 6 tablespoons raw long grain rice, 2 10-ounce cans of tomato soup, and 2 soup cans of water, 1 teaspoon of sugar, and 6 cups of shredded cabbage. Sauté the ground beef in oil for a few minutes. Then add onion, salt, pepper, and rice. Mix and continue frying for another 3 to 4 minutes. Add soup and water and the sugar. Put the shredded cabbage into a greased casserole or roaster or baking dish. Pour the meat mixture evenly over the raw cabbage, but do not stir to keep the layers separate, or if you like, stir. Bake covered at 350 degrees for 1.5 hours or until the cabbage is tender. Until next time, happy cooking!
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Please take the Nash Holos survey and let us know your thoughts about the show. This will help us make sure that we deliver the kind of Ukrainian programming that you want to hear. Just go to the Nash Holos website and click on the survey link. 10 quick questions and you're done. www.nashholos.com.
This is Irina Bell, producer and host of the Ukrainian Hour on Chin Radio in Ottawa, with a Did You Know Chiznalevi segment, and special greetings to the listeners of Nash Holos. Did you know that the hryvnia, the brand new currency of newly independent Ukraine, was printed in Canada? 1 year before Ukraine's independence, the Ottawa branch of Canadian Friends of Rukh was asked by Rukh in Ukraine to investigate the possibility of Canadian institutions producing a new currency for Ukraine in the event that Ukraine were to gain its independence. Within 2 months of Ukraine gaining independence in 1991, Orest Novakiewski, a local Ottawa entrepreneur and vice president of the Ottawa branch of Canadian Friends of Rukh, arranged and negotiated a contract for the Canadian Banknote Company of Ottawa to print 2 billion new banknotes for the National Bank of Ukraine. The banknotes were designed by renowned Ukrainian artist Vasil Lopata, who spent a number of months working with the Canadian Banknote Company engravers to transfer his designs onto metal printing plates. The designs were approved by the Verkhovna Rada, and the currency was to be called the hryvnia, after the currency used in medieval times in Kiev and Rus. The work was financed by Canada Account, a line of credit was approved by the Canadian Federal Cabinet and administered by the Export Development Corporation. Special arrangements were made with the Bank of Canada to suspend the printing of Canadian currency for 6 months in favor of printing the Ukrainian hryvnia. This was the largest single contract for the production of banknotes in the 100-year history of the Canadian Banknote Company. In the following year, Orest Novakiewski also arranged for the Canadian Banknote Company to produce initial passports and postage stamps for Ukraine.
Дуже дякую, Ірино. Many thanks to Irina Bell of the Ukrainian radio program in Ottawa for sharing Chiznaleve, Did You Know, with Nash Holos listeners. You can catch her show at www.chinradioottawa.com. And staying in eastern Canada, another group from Montreal, this is Chetimshena from their CD Postishkach Mri, Along Paths of a Dream, and Ukraino, a song for Ukraine.
Дякую. Ukrainian News Outlook.
Coming up, Ukrainian arms end up in conflict zones. Tymoshenko trial delayed, and Ukrainian feminist group goes global. I'm Keith Perron. There are many conflicts around the world, and if you look at the weaponry that is being used, they're from countries like the United States, Russia, China, and Ukraine. Ukrainian weapons have become the number one smuggled items into countries like Syria. The Ukrainian authorities say they're cracking down on this, but items are still going through. We have this report from Norman Hermanch in Kiev.
Finishing touches for the latest export from a quiet arms powerhouse. At this factory, new light armored vehicles share space with Soviet-era tanks being refurbished. We are told that we are the first foreign journalists to film here, but there are no state secrets to see. Just the old-fashioned muscle that has made Ukraine one of the biggest arms suppliers in the world.
We can propose a good rate price to quality, and of course we are very flexible in respect of requirements of our customers.
Some say Ukraine is too flexible. Vehicles like this one have wound up in the arsenals of some of the world's most brutal regimes.
Ukraine's involvement in the global arms trade runs long and deep. take any conflict anywhere. And there's a good chance one side or the other, or both, are using weapons that were made here.
Ukraine's reputation as a post-Soviet arms bazaar has even made it to Hollywood.
After the wall came down, $32 billion worth of arms were stolen and resold from Ukraine alone. One of the greatest heists of the 20th century.
Ukraine's arms industry says weapons are now covered by strict export controls, but they still manage to turn up in places like Syria, where the BBC discovered Ukrainian ammunition, apparently purchased by Saudi Arabia.
I can't rule out that leakage might occur or a redirection of cargo to another country. This is a really serious problem.
For Ukraine, this is a billion-dollar business, and it plans to keep the weapons coming. Norman Hermock, Kiev.
A Ukrainian court has delayed the trial of former Prime Minister Yulia Tymoshenko, who is on a hunger strike, and set a new trial date for November 23rd. Tuesday's move was the latest in a series of delays for the trial, in which Tymoshenko is defending against charges of tax evasion and embezzlement. Tymoshenko, who is already serving a 7-year prison term for abuse of office, said the charges are politically motivated. The results of President Viktor Yanukovych's efforts to eliminate her as a political rival. The opposition leader and former prime minister began her hunger strike on October 29th to protest what she says were rigged results in Ukraine's parliamentary elections. We now move to Femen. Yes, the Ukrainian feminist group that has been causing quite a bit of a stir in Ukraine. Guess what? They're now taking their message on the road to other countries in Europe, Latin America, and North America. They say they are planning to take on sex tourism. We have this story from James Brooke from The Voice of America.
At first, protests by Femen, a group of Ukrainian feminists, were ignored by the media. Then, 2 years ago, the women started taking off their shirts. In the last 3 months, their tactics spread to France, to Canada, and to Brazil. Back home in a basement office in downtown Kyiv, Oleksandra Shevchenko, a Femen founder, talks about her tactics.
When we mixed nakedness and intelligence and our ideas, we saw that it is working. People see this contradiction. They are not ready to see and to listen to women and to see aggressive women, naked aggressive women.
Ukraine's Femen and Russia's Pussy Riot represent a new kind of feminist protest, theatrical and radical. Behind the training is anger that Eastern European women are 30 years behind Western European women in salaries and in job discrimination.
They say that you will get married in a few years or even like in a few months. You will be pregnant. You will be like, you're not a good worker. I don't want to have you on, like, in my office. The second way to work there, they say that you have to sleep with me. You have to, like, we need to have sex. And, we cannot do nothing.
In June, Femen protested Ukraine's co-hosting of the European Football Championships, arguing that fans would also visit Ukrainian brothels and strip clubs.
We have a lot of sex tourists here in Ukraine because nobody cares about that. Nobody wants to stop this problem.
The sex industry thrives in a country where women score high in beauty and low in income.
It is really easy to become a prostitute in Ukraine, even for me or for other girls. It is really, you just need to make this one step to become a prostitute. I have a lot of invitations from brothels, from different strip clubs.
Oksana Shachko, a veteran Femen activist, goes a step further, attacking internet mail order bride sites.
There are many websites that advertise Ukrainian women because Ukrainian girls are beautiful. But unfortunately, many are undereducated and want to become a wife of a rich man. They're nine on a white horse.
Shevchenko has to juggle her feminism with the traditional expectations of her mother and grandmother.
They imagined for me another life. They wanted to see me as a wife, as a mother, and each single day when my mom calls me, she said, when I will have my grandchildren, like, did you find a man? And I don't know what to answer.
But Shevchenko adds that when she opened FENIM's Paris office a few weeks ago, she met several interesting French men, men she calls male feminists. James Brook, VOA News, Kyiv.
And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Ukraine News Outlook. I'm Keith Perron.
You're listening to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, broadcasting from Vancouver Island, Canada, for PCJ Radio.
Ці б'ються січові стрільці. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права державу. Хлопці, підемо боротися будемо, за Україну, за рідні права. Гей, на горі, на Маківці б'ються січові стрільці. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права державу. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права. Б'ються, б'ються, не здаються, йдуть до бою, ще й сміються. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права державу. Хлопці, підемо боротися будемо, за Україну, за рідні права. А в Києві бій великий, там гуляє ворог дикий. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права державу. Хлопці, підемо боротися будемо, за Україну, за рідні права. Наша сотня вже готова, від'їжджає аж до Львова. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права держави. Хлопці, підемо боротися будемо, за Україну, за рідні права. Січові стрільці. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права державу. Хлопці, підемо боротися будемо, за Україну, за рідні права. Хлопці, підемо боротися за славу, за Україну, за рідні права державу. Хлопці, підемо боротися будемо, Україну, за рідні права.
And popular Ukrainian singer Maria Burmaka and a patriotic Ukrainian song, Hey Nahori na Makivtsi, over there on the hill on the summit. And that is from a compilation CD, Ukrainska heroichnya pisnya, and that is Ukrainian patriotic songs. Up next is Sofia Fedina with another patriotic song. This is from her CD, Povstansky Pisni. That's songs from the Second World War era. And this song is Na Ukraini Surme Rayut. Across Ukraine, the trumpets are sounding.
На Вкраїні сурми грають, нас до бою закликають, нас до бою закликають. закликають. Нахтігалі, Роланд, військо, нахтігалі, Роланд, військо, захищають край український, захищають край український. Нашу славну Україну, нашу славну Україну будем битись до загину, будем битись до загину. Ворогів ми всіх поб'ємо, ворогів ми всіх поб'ємо, Україну збудуємо, Україну збудуємо. Україну збудуємо, нашу славну Україну, будем битись до загину. Ворогом ми всім моглємо, Україну збудуємо, нашу славну Україну, будем битись до загину. Ворогом ми всім моглємо, Україну збудуємо, нашу славну Україну, будем битись до загину. Ми збудуємо державу, ми збудуємо державу від Ла-Маншу до Уралу, від Ла-Маншу до Уралу, від Ла-Маншу до Уралу, від Ла-Маншу до Уралу, нам держави буде мало, нам держави буде мало, на Україні Сурми грають. На Вкраїні сурми грають, нас з тобою закликають, нас з тобою закликають. На Вкраїні сурми грають, на Вкраїні сурми грають, на Вкраїні сурми грають.
The long-awaited film Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide, is now available on DVD. Created by producer Marta Tomku and Hollywood film director Bobby Lee, this is the first U.S. film to spotlight the deliberate death by starvation of millions of Ukrainians in 1932 and 33. Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide, sheds light on a dark chapter in human history, which to this day some still deny happened. DVD and more information at holodomorthemovie.com.
Hollywood producer Marta Tomku and film director Bobby Lee are the creators of Holodomor, Ukraine's Genocide. This film has been years in the making and has recently been released on DVD. I was fortunate to connect with both Marta and Bobby by telephone. They kindly agreed to talk about the film and the making of it. The interview will be aired in two parts on the program. This week we'll be hearing from Marta, who responded in detail to my question about how it all got started.
We went to a Holodomor Memorial Service in Los Angeles in 2006, and at that point, we decided to do the movie. And then I'm the one who said, let's make this movie. And then Bobby says, no, I'm not a documentary filmmaker. And I'm says, yes, let's just grab a camera and go. Let's just make this movie. So we decided at that point to make this documentary film together. And it was just Bobby and I. We're independent filmmakers based here in Los Angeles. We didn't have any big studio backing or anything. And then for a year, we researched all the information that we could possibly find on the Holodomor because there was not enough on the Internet. So we talked to different people, went to archival sources. Mr. Bohdan Federak in Detroit provided access to me to his declassified archival files from Washington, D.C. between 1928 and 1935, which I perused over the course of a month or so. And we looked for Holodomor survivors all over the world, all over the United States, in Canada and in Ukraine, and we found some. And then we asked for donations. Well, first of all, we started this with our own independent funds, and then we realized we needed help from the Ukrainian diaspora because to make a film is a big undertaking, and it's an expensive undertaking. So we asked for help from the Ukrainian diaspora, and then we got funds from the Ukrainian diaspora to help us complete this movie, and then we just went forward.
Okay, you said there was a Holodomor commemoration back in 2006, and you and Bobby went. to see
this. Yes, that is correct.
Was this like something new to you in 2006? Was it just new to Bobby, or how is it that in 2006 it was all of a sudden the catalyst to make this movie?
No, it was not new to me because both my parents are from Ukraine. I'm of Ukrainian heritage. Ukrainian was my first language. Even though I was born in the U.S., I went to Ukrainian kindergarten, schools, nursery school, high school and everything, and I was brought up in a tight-knit Ukrainian community in Detroit, Michigan. So I've known about Holodomor, but this was the first time that Bobby heard about it. Well, actually, my mother told Bobby about Holodomor once before, but then so it was the first time that Bobby heard the details about Holodomor. So it was all new to Bobby. So Bobby said, how come he was a history buff? And he said, how come he's never heard of Holodomor before? So, and then we decided that it's time to, somebody should do something to let people know about what happened, the horrible tragedy suffered by the Ukrainian people. So we decided that it's time to make a documentary because the film medium is one of the furthest reaching mediums that goes all over the world outside of music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm finding it interesting to hear you say that, but I'm realizing that you're in the States. And here in Canada, our population of Ukrainian Canadians is about equal to the population of Ukrainian Americans. But the percentage, you know, we've got 10 times the concentration here in Canada. So you don't find very many people who don't know anything about Ukraine, which is not the case in the States. So have you felt the difference?
Well, I haven't traveled much throughout Canada. The only places in Canada I've been are Windsor and Toronto and Montreal and Quebec City. We filmed in Toronto. And my mother lived after Ukraine. She came and she lived in Toronto. So I can only speak about Toronto. There's a huge, closely knit Ukrainian community. Mm-hmm. And we went into the Ukrainian community and we found survivors and we interviewed survivors there. And there was a Holodomor event going on. That was a 3-day event, and we were invited to that, and we participated in that as well in Toronto. So I can't really intelligently give an answer to your question because I don't really know Canada well enough to compare. But Bobby is Canadian descent. His family is from New Brunswick, but he is he's an American, so he's not Ukrainian.
So he's a history buff. He didn't know anything about Holodomor, and this was a surprise to him, and you both felt that more people should know about it, so you made this film. Did you connect up with anybody that had been researching? Did you get a chance to talk to James Mace before he died?
No, we did not meet James Mace or talk to him before he died. But after we did all our research and when we were already filming in Ukraine, we met with his wife, who told us about his story and everything. So yes, and interviewed his wife in our film as well. Taras Hunchak, who's an expert historian scholar, professor emeritus out of Rutgers University, who's very knowledgeable, he contacted us, and we were in touch with him as well. So he volunteered to help us with the research and the information, providing the information for our film to make sure that it's as accurate as possible. And so he was a researcher, expert historian, scholar, and co-writer of the film with Bobby.
Mm. So nobody in the States then has made a documentary or any kind of a film to do with Holodomor. Everything's been elsewhere out of the country as far as the diaspora goes.
That's true. We are the first Americans to make a documentary film about Holodomor in the United States.
Mm. So the film was released when, Marta?
We officially released it this year, earlier this year in the spring. And we're currently distributing it ourselves. The film was officially released this spring, in March of this year, of 2012. And we are distributing it ourselves initially, and we are looking for a massive, you know, a major distributor. But we also have to be very, very, very careful who we distribute this film to, because some people were not happy with us making this film. I had a very interesting experience when I was working in Moscow on Mission Impossible 4, where, of course, I was scouting the Kremlin, so in order to get to the Kremlin, you need to have a deep background check and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So even though I did not tell anybody that I made a film about Holodomor, I'm sure they knew. And I was followed, and my room was searched on 3 separate occasions. My computer was hacked into, and I had some very interesting dealings with this one man from the FSB, formerly with the KGB.
Oh, dear.
And then also when we were in Ukraine, we encountered people who were Ukrainian, but they were saying, forget about making this film, forget about Holodomor, leave it in the past, why bring up a painful past, forget about it, and they got very, very angry. And even now, there are some people, after our film has come out, who have contacted us and said, why are you making this film, forget about it, let it go, leave it in the past. But I'm like, no, it's very important for people to remember and to move forward, and people need to know their history to move forward.
Absolutely, yeah. I noticed in your film there is a lot of emphasis, and you had, when we spoke off air earlier, you'd said that this was Bobby's idea, was to really focus on the labeling of Holodomor as genocide. And there's a big deal made in the film about that, which hasn't been in other documentaries that I've seen.
Yes, that was Bobby's idea, and Bobby created the whole look of the film and the whole... He edited the film with the editor, and he spent a long time working on this. Would you? And I think Bobby would be the best person who could answer that question himself, and he's sitting right next to me. Would you like to ask him that question, perhaps?
I would absolutely love to ask him that question.
And we'll be bringing you Bobby's answer on next week's program. Meanwhile, if you'd like to order a copy of the DVD, you can send a check for $24.99 U.S. plus $10 shipping and handling to Holodomor the Movie, 8306 Wilshire Boulevard, number 947, Beverly Hills, California, 90211, or visit www.holodomorthemovie.com and purchase it online. Another Ukrainian group with another patriotic song. Actually, the title of this is technically, I guess, a drinking song, but you heard the tone of that tune, and it was definitely an off-to-war kind of song, so you can't really begrudge the soldiers one last drink, seeing as what they're going to be facing. That was Anatoly Rudenko and the folklore band Kyiv with Hey Nalivayte. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, Sundays at 5 p.m. on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver, Saturdays around the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio, and live in Nanaimo Wednesdays at 12 noon on CHLY 101.7 FM. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com. Please go there, register, take our survey, make a donation, sponsor a child, and check out our audio archives going back 10 years. На жаль, вже скінчила нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Той, що думає мало, говорить багато. And our proverb of the week translates as, he who thinks little talks much. Well, that just about takes us to the end of our program, so to wrap it up, we have the Ukrainian old-timers with the Farmer's Polka. I'm Pavlina Demchuk-Macquarie on behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do pobaczenia.